Good evening. How are you guys doing tonight? Yes. Man, this is my fifth year in this ministry, and I can tell you, I've never been up here before, so seeing you guys like this is amazing. Tonight, I'm just going to introduce myself. My name is Nick. If you've never met me before, my full name is Nicholas Santo, but nobody calls me by that, and so just call me Nick. I am not the lead pastor here. If you're new here, welcome. Our lead pastor is actually Pastor Tom. He's standing right there in the back. Amen. And so tonight I've been given the privilege to share the word with you guys. It's going to be fun. And, you know, I was really praying. I don't really care how good I do here. What really matters is God is moving in you guys. And so I believe that's going to happen. So I hope you guys are excited. Amen. A few fun facts about me just before we go into this. One, I actually grew up in another country called Indonesia. And so I know we got some Indonesians in here. I grew up there for half of my life. And the other fun fact is like I enjoy listening to, I think you guys call them fables, right? Fable, right? Short stories. And growing up, I learned this one fable when I was in elementary school, and I want to share that with you guys. A story actually starts with a man. He's a working hard man who's in the city, who's taking a bus and going to work. And so I want to introduce a little bit about Indonesian culture here. And I think you're going to pull up. Okay, there you go. And this picture is not really clear. And this doesn't really look like a bus. It's really a minivan. And one mode of transportation that you actually see in Indonesia is called angkot. And if you go to any place in Indonesia, you'll see basically vans like this. What's funny is that this one doesn't have a door, as you see, no door at all. This is actually very common with these kinds of transportation. And one of the reasons they do that is it's very efficient transportation. So people, the drivers will actually not just go to the bus stations, but they will drive all around the streets. And if people want to come in, they just jump in and they go. But this can be really dangerous. I know, right? It's crazy. And so this story starts with this guy. He's going to be late for work, and he's trying to get into one of these angkot, right? And as he's running, and the car is basically already driving at this point, and this guy's just running and trying to get on it. And so as he jumps and gets onto it, he's happy, he gets on, but he looks down on his feet, and he realizes he's missing one of his sandals. This happens, actually, often in my country. And so, very funny. And so, you know, he's bummed out, he can't stop, and so what does he do? He just sits down, he mopes, and he's embarrassed, right? Not only is he going to work with sandals, he's only got one on now, right? And so, and what makes it worse is there's a guy sitting next to him that basically asks him this question. He says, "Sir, why didn't you throw your other sandal out?" So the guy is already mad, and he's looking at him. He's like, what are you talking about? Well, and so this man replies, he said, "If you had thrown your other sandal out, someone else who was walking by and saw both of your sandals could actually pick them up and use them. But because of what you did, it doesn't benefit neither you or the other person." And so the moral of the story is use what you have to benefit others. Okay. If you're new to Chi Alpha, this is your first time here. We've currently been going through a series of talks with one theme, and that is stand. And the main verse comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. It'll be up in the screen here. This verse reads, "Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything with love." Remember, guys, as Christians, we're called to stand firm in the faith, right, guys? And be courageous and strong through any persecution, through any attack. And this is not just a once a week, once a day thing. This is throughout our lives, right, or until Jesus comes back. And today, I want to talk about one of the biggest oppositions we face in our lives as we walk with God. And this opposition is God's gifts. Now, I want to elaborate on this. I want to make something clear. God's gift alone is not a bad thing, right? We want blessings, right? But the problem is, if depending on how we receive God's gift and how we use it. God's gift can become one of the biggest oppositions in our lives as we walk with God. And we see this a lot, not just in our lives as Christians, but even when we read the Bible, we see examples of this, clear examples. And one of the, I want to read, our main verse tonight will come out of Luke chapter 18, verse 18 to 24. And so tonight we're going to be talking about what this looks like and what stance we're going to have to take. It'll be up there. Okay. It says here, once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, no, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother." The man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." When Jesus heard this answer, he said, "There's still one thing you haven't done. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me." But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw this, he said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." Now, two things I want to make clear before we dive into this. And this is good scripture that's teaching us something here. One, the rich ruler's wealth that God gave him, God intended to give it to him and bless him with that. All right, I want to make that clear. The blessings that you get in our lives, they're intended for you to have. Two, if you really pay attention to, or if you do some study about the rich young ruler, most people think that he was, no scholars think that he was either a member of the leader in the synagogue or a leader of a Jewish council. So he was someone with prominent status, right? He was God blessing him with wealth and also known to be a godly person. And when we read this passage, you know, we can see that the young ruler really strived to follow the law to the best of his ability, right? And Jesus is not actually questioning him about it. The problem that the young ruler had wasn't just his unwillingness to give up his wealth, but his main problem was a matter of perspective. See, the young ruler had the idea that his wealth was his own, and he could do whatever he wants with it, right? Now, I don't know about you guys, but I think sometimes I can also abuse the gift that God has given us by having this kind of mindset, that my wealth, my time, my relationship, that's hard work on my part, right? And so I get to do whatever I deserve. I know we don't think that way, but our actions show that. And when we do that, what we fail to realize, and this is what God wants us to know tonight, is that every blessing that we have that comes from heaven, right? So every blessing that we have comes from God. And God's desire is for us to partner with him as we enjoy his gifts. Tonight, God is calling us to stand firm in God's blessing. That's our theme tonight, to stand firm in the blessings he gives us. Then two ways we can do this. This is something God's been teaching me. The first one is, we need to develop a proper posture as we receive God's gifts. We're going to talk about what does that look like, developing a mental posture and also a physical posture to receive God's gifts. And the other part, the second part is, once we receive those gifts, what are we doing with it? We got to do something with it. And so first part is, how do we develop a proper mental posture as we receive God's gift? And something God's been teaching me is the way to do this is to submerge yourself into a Christ-centered culture. I don't know where most of you are born. If you're from the United States or overseas, I've been to most countries, and I know that most society in this world doesn't really revere God, correct? I mean, we've been to societies that, even religious ones that say, you know, the ultimate goal of your life is to basically to be blessed or to have to fulfill your heart's desire and be happy, correct? You probably have heard that before. The problem with this is that it leaves no room for God to be involved in our lives and let alone partner with him. the culture or community of people that you're involved with most in your life will shape your decisions and mindset, guys. Paul actually backs this up in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. It says, "Don't be fooled by those who say such things, for bad company corrupts good character." In this letter, the Apostle Paul is addressing the Corinthian church, and at this time, there were a lot of false teachers here that are proclaiming to the rest of the congregation that basically the resurrection of Christ didn't happen. And we know that this is a lie now, but obviously, a lot of the people there were young Christians, and Paul was saying, these people are influencing the people around you, so be careful with the company of people that you interact with. God is calling every single Christian to submerge themselves into a culture where what is most important to God is what's most important to the community. This church, Chi Alpha, I've been part of this church for 5 years. I can say that this is Christ culture for me. This culture, every single one of you, you may not notice this, you've helped me to develop a mindset whereby Christ is, what's important to Jesus is what's important to me. Every single one of you have been involved in that. And so I want to thank you for that. And also another thing that God wanted me to just convey to you guys is part of submerging yourselves into Christ's culture, into the church, requires more than just a once a week attendance at church or Bible study. If you're new here, I'm not condemning you or anything like that. I think thank you so much for coming to service. You're doing your first part here. If you're just coming here once a week, you're just testing the waters, right? God is actually calling us to go so much more deeper. And the way we do that is we make sure that the most influential people in our lives are those who are involved in God's culture and not the world's. Most of us just got back from Fall Retreat. I don't know about you guys. I had a great time. Amen. What did we learn there? We learned that we should be part. We should be in the world, but not of it. Right? That's what Nee mentioned. Well, one important way to do that is to be submerge yourself in Christ's culture. Right? And so, that's really important. And the second part to receiving God's gifts, what do we need to do properly to receive God's gifts? And this is something I still struggle with. Your physical posture as you receive the gifts that God has given you is actually very important. I remember this summer, God was teaching me this, and that's why I'm talking about it. But I was spending time with God outside. I was walking outside just talking with him. And God showed me three different pictures. Three different ways of receiving God's gift. Two of them were wrong, and one of them was pleasing to God. And I want to share the first one that is actually wrong. In this vision, he showed me a picture of God basically sending down a gift, and what people usually do with it is we grab it and we hold it tightly. And I call it tightly grasping, whatever you want to call it. I want to share a story here. One of my old friends from home, this is when I was living in Indonesia, he was in high school at this moment, he had a fascination for race cars. He loved race cars. But he didn't have a car. That was the problem. He couldn't race them. Really bad, right? And during this final year of high school, his parents decided to loan him his mom's car. They were going to buy a new car anyway, so they said, here, have this car. The problem was, he took the car and he thought, you know, it'd be a good idea to modify this car into a race car. So he took his mom's car, and this was like a Kia 1998 box car. Can you imagine that? One of those small box cars. And so that's what he had. And he did crazy stuff. He added a new audio system in his car. He added new rims. He changed the steering wheel, and also, you know, one of those, if you go in a sports car, the seats are different, they extend back, you know what I'm talking about? He added one of those too. And he also added, like, if you go into the car, there are like bars on top of it and behind it, so when you're driving, you can actually hold on to it, so it looks like it's a race car. But my favorite part was every time he would go to school, he would always wear his race car helmet. Like, he would actually wear it and drift to school, which was really funny. And so everybody was looking at him every time he would go to school, and they got a laugh at it. Everybody was laughing except for his parents, that is. I'm pretty sure that it wasn't in his parents' mind or plan when they loaned him a car that he would actually soup it up into a race car. My friend ended up abusing the gift that his parents gave to him, correct? And the problem that he had is he didn't understand that, well, it's not his property, it's actually his parents', right? And what was kind of confusing to me is he was a good kid for the most part. When his parents told him to do his homework, to eat certain things, he would always follow them. But when it came to this one thing, he didn't. He was disobedient. And it's the same thing with the rich young ruler, what we see. When we love the gifts that God has given us more than the giver, than God, we'll end up doing that, right? We'll end up doing crazy things, and that's what my friend did. And so that's one way we can receive God's gift, by claiming for it to be our own. The second way is by rejecting God's gift. This may sound a little bit weird, but God gave me an image of when God gives us a gift, suddenly we are pushing it away. Sometimes we can do that without realizing it, I think. I don't think anybody would openly admit to pushing away God's gift. But the example I want to give you is that of the rich young ruler. You know, remember the story when God said, okay, sell all your possessions, right? Give it to the poor, and then come and follow me, and I'm going to bless you. That's what he said, right? So God, Jesus, was actually trying to bless him with a gift, right? How many of you know that following Jesus in your life has been the greatest gift that you receive? Amen? Sometimes we have the attitude, yeah, we're just serving. No, it's a gift from God. And so this young ruler was being blessed by a gift, and he rejected it. His issue, kind of like my friend's, was he was grasping on this gift too tightly. And because of that, he couldn't receive God's best gift. One other thing that God wanted me to mention to you, one way we also reject his gifts is because of doubt and fear in our lives. Guard your mind, guys. Be careful of what Satan says to you, because all of it is lies, not a lot of it, actually. But I remember during my walk with God, sometimes I would have doubt that God would give me these kind of gifts, or I would have fear that I would let God down or people down if I receive his gifts, right? How many of you have felt that way, where you've had some fear with that? You guys know, and I hope you guys know this, but nothing is further from the truth. It doesn't matter how much your achievements or your competence, right? God is going to bless you regardless. But that being said, like the rich young ruler, that every gift that we get, there's always going to be some temptations associated with it. That doesn't mean we don't reject his gift. That just means we got to accept it with the proper posture. And so the correct way we can receive God's gift, and this is the third and important way, is by accepting his gift and then immediately surrendering it to God. God quickly reminded me, he showed me, I didn't know what this looked like, but he showed me, he gave me a vision of Abraham. You guys all know this story, when God had called Abraham to surrender his son Isaac, right? I want to challenge you guys, you know, try to picture that in your mind. I know it's weird to picture in your mind someone, a father laying down his son to be sacrificed. But what's important to see here is that it's the action that Abraham took. We all know that from this story that God never intended to hurt Isaac, but he wanted to see Abraham's response, right? And the posture that Abraham took, not only did he receive the gift from God, but he also completely surrendered it before God's throne. And to God, that was nothing less than pleasant. In this picture, God showed me that the only way to honor God with the gifts that he's given us is to receive it and then immediately surrender it by laying it down on the altar. And when we do this, guys, two things that are really important that you'll gain when you do this. One, it openly invites God into partnership with us as we receive his gifts. Two, it allows us to love God more than his gifts. That's really important. And what does surrendering look like? You know, when you receive God's gift, how do I completely surrender it? Two things that I learned. One, ask God right away. Pray to him, right? God, what do you want me to do with this gift that you've given me? What do you want me to do with this money, with this car, whatever that you've given me? I promise you, if you start to develop that mindset, a lot of things will start to change how you receive God's gift. Also, the second one, we need to always check our heart. Make sure you're talking to people, asking them, having them keep you accountable. If your desire for your gift is more than for your God, that's going to be very dangerous. And so the second way we can surrender God's gift before his throne is to make sure that we love him more than the gift itself. This sounds really familiar, I think, this concept. If you went to Fall Retreat, Nee mentioned something similar, right? If we want to stand firm in our faith, right, by being in the world but not of it, what did he say to do? We have to love God more than the wealth, right? More than the blessings of this world, right? And it's the same thing about what Abraham did here. His willingness to sacrifice Isaac showed that he very clearly devoted God more than the gifts. As we live and learn how to receive God's gifts, God is also calling us to do something with his gifts. I never looked at this passage that way, but remember when Jesus says in verse 22, there's still one thing that you haven't done. Go sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. I always thought the main passage was about you surrendering your wealth so you can follow Jesus. But I really believe that God doesn't just haphazardly do things, right? We know God's character. He doesn't just do things for the sake of doing things. I believe that the possessions that God gave the rich young ruler since the beginning, whether it was his, he didn't have a car, obviously, but his house, chariots, donkeys, his swimming pool, whatever that was, it was intended. I don't know what he had, but I think that's what he had. It was, these possessions from the beginning were intended to help the poor. I really believe that. And so every gift God has given us has a purpose. And I want to challenge you today. What are the purpose for your gifts that God has given you? You guys are very talented people. God has blessed you with many gifts. Ask God, what do you desire for the gifts that you've given me? I was praying to God and asking him, what are some practical examples I can give you? And the one thing he showed me a picture of a car. And I don't know if this is random or not, but just think about this, guys. Have you been a good steward of the car that God has given you? Remember, that's not your car. It's not your mom's car, your dad's car. If we're real with ourselves, that car is from God, correct? It's God's car. Have you been asking anybody, maybe in your Bible study or anybody here who doesn't have a car, hey, can I drive you home? And that's something very simple, guys, but that's what's being a good steward of God's car. Yeah. So think of some practical gifts that you have, practical blessings that God has given you, and ask him, have I been a good steward of what you've given me? I want to end by showing you what could happen if we don't do anything with what God has given us. About 3 years ago, I was in a similar situation as the rich young ruler. I remember I was in Bible study. I think it was Blaze's Bible study, actually. We were having affirmations night at Hy-Vee, and that's what you do. And so, yeah, it was really funny. It was. I love affirmations night, guys. If some of you are new here, basically we like to at least once a year, hopefully every day, affirm each other, right? Lift up and build up each other. That's godly. And so I remember being happy. I was so happy. I love when people bless me with their words. And so I came to affirmation night, and I was waiting, and it was my turn to be affirmed, so I was really happy. And Mike, at this time, Mike, some of you know him, he was my Bible study leader. He was praying, and then he spoke to me. He said, Nick, God has really blessed you over the time you have been here. It's time for you to give back. Now, I remember looking at him. I said, okay, what else? Like, this there must be some more out of this, because I don't think that was an affirmation, right? But the more I thought about it, this was probably one of the best affirmations I've ever gotten. It was truth from God. And I remember that year, again, 3 years ago, it was the first time God, well, not the first time, but it was a turning point in my life when God was asking me to use the gifts that he has given me for his glory, guys. And so, and I remember I did that actually. I'm not just in ministry right now, but at the time I did serve. But one thing that I want to let you guys know, if I didn't accept what Mike spoke to me and I didn't do anything about what God had given me, the gifts he's given me, I wouldn't have the relationship with Jesus that I have right now. And this was the case. We can actually see this with the rich young ruler, right? When he didn't lay down his wealth, he was missing out on an opportunity to follow Jesus. That's what Jesus was calling him to do, be my disciple, basically. And I want to challenge you guys tonight, right? I mentioned this before. He has blessed every single one of you with a gift, if not more. And it's time to give back. Remember, keep this in mind. Nothing that we have is actually ours. We're called to be good stewards of the gifts that he has given us to expand his kingdom and to bless others, not just for ourselves. And so I want to challenge you guys. If you don't know what to do with your gifts, go to your Bible study leaders. Ask them, hey, what do you think I can do? How do I serve God with the gifts that I've given me or people? I promise they'll put you to work. If not, Tom will, for sure. And I want to conclude with this, guys, what God has been speaking tonight. God desires for us to stand firm in the blessings that he's given us. Okay, guys? One, he intends to bless us, right? He intends for us to enjoy in the gifts he's given us. But he also wants to partner with us. It's not just my show. It's God and my show. Does that make sense, guys? And we can do this by properly receiving his gifts. We talked about the proper mind posture and physical posture, but also using it. As we honor God with the gifts that he's given us, not only will we stand firm in our faith, but we'll also grow deeper and more intimate in our relationship with Christ. And guys, if you can get anything out of this message, I know I've been speaking fast, but there's no greater purpose in your life than to know Jesus and to know him more. All right, guys, that's the most simple thing. No greater purpose in your life than to know Christ and to know him more. But we won't be able to do that if we don't honor him with the gifts that he's given us. Please bow your heads and close your eyes.